Welcome there, listener, to this edition of your weekly show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad. You know, I find it very encouraging to think of the thousands of people listening to us every week when we come on. You take out of your precious time to join us in this on this station and on this show. My name is Chimonye Belama. I'm your weekly host on this show, Let's Talk. Now, I have an important guest with me this week. It's Mr. Armstrong Kuzuayo. Mr. Armstrong Kuzuayo, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Armstrong Kuzuayo is the founder of Crossover Foundation. This is a foundation focused on the very, let's say, low-performing schools around our region or province and aimed at seeing how to uplift them. Mr. Armstrong, you used to be a teacher.
Yes.
In fact, you were a teacher up till recently. How many years did you serve as a teacher in the public school?
I served department for 28 years.
28 years.
Yes.
So that's a load of experience right there. What led you to start this crossover? I mean, you took an early retirement, like you've told me, just 2 years ago, so as to start Crossover Foundation. What was the thing? What was the passion? What was the troubling in your heart that led to the starting of this foundation?
Now, Jim, I got saved in 1998. I'll accept Christ as my savior. After that, I started to work very closely with the learners with different problems, challenges at home, at schools, and I also observe these number of problems. Now, working them close with them, I realized that it is important that somehow, that's what God told me, that the workers are few, but the harvest is huge.
That's from Matthew chapter 9. So God used that scripture to call your attention to the field of our public schools.
Yes, another one was something that is pleasing God.
Mm.
And what is pleasing God is to see one sinner repenting.
Mm.
Then I started to realize that, you know what, we are doing very less in trying to achieve what God wants. Because He's saying He would like to see all people repenting and accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then, having done that, I've been preaching in the morning assemblies at school. I've seen a number of kids really repenting. Then, somehow, in 2017, God spoke to me and said, listen, I want you to go out and do this work with my people. Then I started this foundation, which is Crossover. Now, perhaps to give a background of what is Crossover, this is taken from Israelites coming from Egypt. They have to cross over the river.
The point is,
now, when you cross over, you forget exactly what is behind you. Now, by faith, they cross over. I only believe that there are those learners in schools. They are not having any, you know, brilliant minds. But through faith, through understanding God, God will make them cross over. So that is basically how we form this Crossover Foundation. Then again, my take of Crossover is that if you are within the challenges, you have to move and cross over, because you are not going to stay there forever. Otherwise, you die spiritually, you die emotionally, you also die physically. Then I've seen a number of kids, for an example, getting pregnant in school, taking drugs in schools, failing their grades or grade 12 whatsoever. Then they think it's an end of the road. Then God said to me, you know what? I want you to go down and speak to these people to cross over, to start afresh in their life. Because whatever they face in that particular environment, God was preparing them for the better things.
Yeah, so what I'm seeing here is that from what you said, you are focused on underachieving schools, underperforming schools. That is, like all of us know, that often is in the news of schools where year after year, very low percentage are ever able to make matric pass, and people have tried to propose different things. So let's go to the problem. You have been a teacher in the system for so long. What's really wrong with the system?
As I'm saying, Jim, there are quite a number of challenges, because there are internal challenges and there are also external challenges. But now, again, when you bring these challenges together, they actually cause a huge problem in schools. Now, perhaps let me
cut and break it down.
Let me break down for you. There's a challenge with the educators themselves.
The teachers.
Yes, they don't receive continuous training and development.
So there's no upskilling of the
There's no upskilling. There's no capacity building.
Yeah.
If it is there, it is very minimal.
It's not enough.
It's not enough.
Okay.
Hence, there are a lot of changes in the curriculum. There are a lot of changes in the systems by the government. For instance, if you consider disciplinary action, teachers used to discipline kids a lot at schools, but now things have changed, which brings the new system that you bring in the parent, and at the same time, you find that there's a breakdown in a parent-teacher relationship. So the thing is, we as Crossover, we are trying to say, we'll go down to schools, we'll have the workshop, perhaps we'll sit down with the principal. Principals have got what is known as school improvement plan. Now, you will find that a person has been promoted to the next level, but at the same time, if you are to consider, was that person capacitated for the new position?
He wasn't capacitated.
And at the same time, he's facing the supervision of the same colleagues that he has been performing with. Now, what actually happens here, it's a huge problem.
It's a gap that needs to be filled.
It's a gap. So with my foundation, we've already developed the modules, you know, teaching them the planning, the administration, the supervision, the moderation.
We're going to come to what you do, but okay, I want us to first of all, because not everybody understands the problem, and for us for our listeners, it's very important we understand the problem before we even, so that we can appreciate the solutions that are being offered, because many times some of our listeners are sending their children to the schools like yours, public schools. Others are sending them to the Model C schools, which are different, and we read in the papers, we have this continuous thing of our underperforming schools, low matric results, and many people attribute it to lazy teachers. But here you have talked about, I picked out three or four things. One is the fact that teachers are ill-equipped, they're not continually upskilled. Secondly, there are legislations that makes it difficult for there to be discipline in schools, and there is a breakdown between parents, teachers, communication, which is very vital. Like we know in schools, an educator needs the support of the parents to be able to do well with educating the child. Those are the three things you brought up, but you said there are many others that come together to intertwine together to create a complex situation in our public school.
Go on, perhaps, please. As I'm outlining them, the second one, which is also a huge problem, is a drug intake.
So the drugs are in our schools.
They are beyond, you know, after the relaxation of this DACA thing.
So this the legalization of DACA has further impounded the problem in our schools.
It has just compounded.
There's
this drug abuse. There's this alcohol abuse.
In schools.
At certain intervals.
So there are taverns they put just close to schools.
Around the schools.
Just around the schools so that the children leave school to go to these taverns.
Yes, there's another problem. Problem of violence.
Okay, which this of
problem,
course we come from something like drug.
Of violence.
Once you have drug, you would have violence.
Yes. Sometimes they're also practiced because they have seen violence at home.
At home, because they come from homes where
then it becomes a normal practice
for them to
that
be violent.
The learners, when they observe it at home, then obviously at school there is no problem in doing it. That is another problem. Another third problem, which is more of a behavioral problem. You know, after the government is trying to help to give the grant to learners, but the way it was received by the learners, they decided that pregnancy, it's okay, you know, giving birth before. Then to me is, what is God saying about your body, about your behavior, you know, the level of pregnancy?
So because of the grant, people seek to be pregnant, even teenagers, so as to get the grant.
You know, if I were to give you statistics, in 2016, there were 21,000 in South Africa.
Of teenagers, pregnancies
teenage pregnancies in high school.
In high school.
KZN was having 2,983.
Wow.
And the youngest child to be pregnant was, I think, 11 years old.
11 years old. Can
you believe it? 11 years in primary.
That's a pity.
Out of this 21,000, 717, they are from primary schools.
Wow.
Now, where are we going?
It's really a challenge.
In Zululand, two high schools, they had about 29 learners pregnant in a school.
Mm.
That is huge to me.
Yeah, it's one is huge. Not to
one
talk of this
high
number.
School here in Durban is having around 45 wow. learners pregnant.
Wow.
Now, that tells it all that what we are doing, because now this problem, they compound. Sometimes when you teach, the learners, they come late, they have to take care of the young ones, they have to go for the grants. Now, my point is, we are no longer teaching a child. Mm. We are teaching a teenage mom or a teenage father, you see.
Mm.
And again, there's a lack of support around this whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, psychologically, when they are there in schools, they are not even prepared to learn.
Yeah, because of what is all the changes going on in their body.
Exactly.
So this is where this you've tried to categorize, and thank you very much, the challenges. So it's not just sometimes we look at these things and it's a complex mix. And maybe that's why sometimes the government doesn't even know what to do. But you are saying some of the laws of the government is not helping. It's not helping issues.
No, not at all.
So what are the solutions that crossover is bringing?
Okay, before maybe we come to the solutions, we also have this grade 12 learners who are sometimes don't see the need to perform. Because one of the main excuses that you get in schools said, you know what, sir, even if I pass, the rate of unemployment is so high.
Wow.
I'm sitting with my sister at home. She's qualified. She's qualified.
So who's going to give me a job?
Yeah, but now what's the point? What's the point of performing in a school? Because there are no jobs, this and that. But now my take is, even though God is saying, I've God plans for you. The plans to prosper and not to suffer, you know. That is where then I come in as a crossover foundation. Now I will be doing then motivations to grade 12.
So would you say motivation is a key issue in this whole thing?
Exactly.
Because you talk now about learners who are like, there's an apathy where they're like, even what's the use of education?
Exactly.
Maybe that is the reason why somebody will go into drugs. Because when you have no vision for your future, you just take what will meet you now.
Yeah.
That's why somebody would not mind getting pregnant. At least I can get some money from that. And so motivation is, lack of vision is an issue here.
Lack of vision is an issue.
Then it's probably the huge issue.
The thing is then they try to solve these problems.
Mm.
How do they solve the problems? You know the issues.
Mm.
Then they start jollying around.
Mm.
They got into fat and said, in order to support themselves.
Yes.
Because obviously, look at how much government is spending on supplementary examinations.
Yes.
Look at how much government is spending in trying for these learners to rewrite the exam. Because obviously, if you miss grade 12, somehow at the end, you still have to get matric certificate.
Yes.
Yes.
So now the challenge, I come back to the issue of motivation, where many of the learners in our schools are not motivated to learn because they lack the vision. They have not been shown that they can be any better than where they are.
Yes.
Secondly, do you think the motivation affects also the educators, the teachers?
Perhaps let's take this way. I like the motto by Liverpool Club. He said, you never walk alone. Then I'm saying to the learners in schools, you'll never walk alone. Even to the educators themselves. The moment we are called in the school, the principal will say, listen, Mr. Kuzwayo, I've got my grade 12. They are so demotivated. They are losing direction. They don't know where they are going. Then God prepares me to speak to these. I read the word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Those who sow sparingly, they will harvest sparingly. Now, I take it from there. Then I say to learners, but if you sow, don't forget there is a weed at the same time.
So you use the word of God to motivate. So motivation is so essential in our high school.
Very, very
essential. Would you say this is even more important than spending some big money on the places?
If I were to have more time available, I would have visited all high schools and to say, guys, you can actually do it.
Motivation is more important than trying to, you know, build a new toilet or buy a new computer. Because even if you have all that there, if the person is not motivated, if they're not motivated, if they're discouraged, if they've like, this is not working, it keeps going down.
Yes.
So is it motivation one of the key roles that cross over foundation doors in the schools? And how do you do it?
I do it by arranging the slot with the principals. Because most of the principals have been in touch with them.
Because you were also in the system.
Yes, I was also in the system. They have listened to me. I've been, perhaps let me also mention this. In 2003, I was on the radio presenting my subject, business studies, you know. Then from there, I had a lot of network with the principals. Then I was called upon, say, okay, come to my school. This is what I want you to do for me. So obviously, in that sequence, I was able to draw this attention to come to schools. In 2016, I was a guest speaker at Mhlathuzana. It was a teacher's award, which was a great opportunity for me. And then they started to know me that, oh, we have Mr. Kuzwayo, can come around the school, because I'll speak to the learners. Once again, let me say this. Some of the things I have actually experienced, I've been a victim to them, you know. So obviously, when you speak on the point of knowledge,
experience, not theory,
you start to understand what a person is going through, you know. For instance, if a person is taking drugs, smoking dagga, is pregnant, which teacher can take this child, girl, okay, let's go home, let's sit down with the parents, does they have the passion to do that? So with this motivation, I start to show these learners, because sometimes I will bring the other ex-students to the school and say, let's look at this person. This person was here some 6 years ago. Now she is a chartered accountant, you know? You know, that is type
to
of
give them vision. To give them vision. So many times, it's a low-hanging fruit almost. It's as if we can do this.
Yes.
We can change our schools if we can bring motivation to them, and this is what Crossover Foundation is all about.
Yes.
We're going to take a music break now, Mr. Kuzwayo, and when we come back, I want us to break down a bit further what exactly the way you do this thing and some of the testimonies you have heard. Listener, I'm talking here to Mr. Armstrong Kuzwayo, who is the founder and director for Crossover Foundation. It's a foundation focused on lifting up the low-performing, underperforming schools in our province. And he has had over 28 years of experience in the public school. And now he's pouring all of this with his passion for Christ into uplifting the schools that have continually had a history of underperformance. We'll go for a music break now. When we come back, we'll continue this very, very enlightening conversation. Don't go away.
You are listening to Let's Talk, interesting conversations on today's issues. Stay tuned.
Sin on him was death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain.
Listening to Let's Talk, interesting conversations on today's issues. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, dear listener, to this interview with Mr. Kuzwayo, and he is the founder of Crossover Foundation, a foundation or an organization focused on helping underperforming schools. And we've been talking in the first half about just the challenges we face in the public school. And Mr. Kuzwayo, we kind of summarized everything down to the very lack of motivation in our schools. I've had some other people on this show in the past, and many times we keep going back to this issue that the motivation is lacking a lot in our schools. And why do you think educators, the teachers, feel very demotivated? I mean, you were there, so what is the thing that makes them feel demotivated?
The relationship within the school itself is also taking the school somewhere. Somehow within the school, you'll find that there's a lot that is disturbing the teachers, educators. For instance, perhaps if I may name one, you know, a great intervention by a union in the promotion of educators, which is also a huge challenge. And nobody speaks about them, about those kind of problems, you know. Because immediately, when you bring somebody who is not envisaged, who is not known, then it sometimes causes a breakdown within the school itself. Because the other teachers, they are left demotivated. So obviously, the question is, you as a principal, how do you run two staff in the school? That is also another problem. Perhaps, Tim, there's also something that we left out here that I forgot. When you were talking about the challenges in schools, there's a challenge of poverty.
Yes.
There's a huge problem.
But left to me, really, Mr. Kuzwayo, you know, I come from Nigeria and I work a lot in different parts of Africa. I think one of the things that I think poverty sometimes, I'm not doubting, I mean, I've met people who are really poor. But sometimes I look at our schools here and I see the infrastructures. I see the things at the disposal of the learners. I see the provision of the government for learners, and I compare it to Malawi, for example, or compare it to places I've been to in other parts of Africa, especially in the interior parts, even in the urban areas. And you go like, there seems to be something more than just lack here. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Because
yes, I
have, as I am, I've had a school. I've led a school in a village. Many years ago, my wife and I were running a school, and the students were under a tree. This was a school in the northern part of Nigeria where you have Boko Haram and all that. School under the tree, and you can barely get textbooks. Sometimes you pass the textbooks around, and you try and get paper. You get even plain white papers for people to write on. You write on the board, you write on the ground, you and with their hands, all the villagers will come together with their with the parents and build mud blocks and create a school classroom, and we study there. Everybody was saying the education is so important, and from this small place, people have gone on to be political leaders. People have gone on to university, and everybody was motivated. And I am not like you that has many years in education, but I did that as a missionary, as an educator at that time. I even went for training. So this is one thing I learned. I learned that the biggest number one thing that makes a school is the teacher. If you have quality teacher, you have quality school. Exactly. It's not the building, it's not the laboratory, it's not the computer. If you don't have a quality teacher, you don't have a quality school. Get one quality teacher, let him be under the tree. Let him have 10 people with him, or 20 or 40 people. Give him a good time, he will take them through. Just give him some time, he will take them through. Now, the second thing that makes a school, from what I learned, and I'm not here to teach you, this is my own experience, and since we're having a conversation, please feel free to disagree with me. The second thing, and these are the two factors I felt were very important, a quality teacher and a motivated motivated learners. So if you have quality teacher who knows,
but motivated learners, they come from the motivated teacher.
If a teacher is not motivated, he's not even quality.
You know,
for me, if a teacher is not motivated, he's not quality. He's not
interesting enough. Yesterday I was discussing this. I said, when you look at the Bible, it talks about the leader. When Jesus was speaking to Peter, said, Peter, do you love me?
Yeah.
Because I once mentioned that in one of my highlights, in one of my motivation, when I'm motivating the teachers, I said, it's like, as we are here in the staff room, God is asking you, do you love me? Then if you do love me, take care of my flock. Because there is one thing in the Bible, it said, if I hit the leader,
strike the shepherd, and
if
the sheep will scatter.
The shepherd,
I'm
done.
I totally agree with you. That's why I said my number one evaluation of school, or what makes a school, is the teacher, the educator.
The teacher is the center,
is the center of everything. And when I said quality teacher, I was actually even saying a motivated teacher. You can't be a quality teacher without being motivated.
I once made an example with regard to this. I said, when you build a house, it has got four pillars.
Yes.
There is a pillar of parents component. There is a pillar of the Department of Education. There is a pillar of educators,
whoever is there in school.
There is a pillar of learners themselves.
Yes.
But somehow, if these pillars are not balanced, definitely sure the house will collapse.
It will collapse. So that's a very good example. Yeah. So where I'm going to now is that if you really look at this, that what we lack is not... that's why I hate to bring up the issue of poverty. Yes. That's relative.
Yes, but it's extreme. There are some cases.
There's some extreme poverty, but if you look at many of our... talk about Nolweni, Umlazi, you see that in many cases it's not extreme poverty. It is a case of demotivation. And I think this is one thing that is good about your organization, where you tackle this issue of motivation. Tell us a bit about how Crossover tackles those problems.
We decided then to have the interventions. I usually call it
interventions,
because when I meet the educators, it's more of knowledge intervention.
Yes.
Guys, we started in 1989. This is what we used to do.
Yes.
We established the union, SATU, in 1990 at Umlazi Cinema. This is what we do it. You know, even if we're going on strike, definitely sure we make it a point that we have a program to keep our learners, we will keep our learners intact with learning, you know. So those were kind of background information that we try to motivate the youngsters who are coming to the system, you see. So our intervention, one, as I've said before, one is motivation.
Yeah.
You call us, we come to school, we motivate the learners. Because I do separate the two. Because talking to grade 12 is not like talking to the entire school.
Yes, yes.
Reason being, grade 12, it is actually representing, it's a criteria, it's a measurement for the performance of the school.
Yes.
So obviously, even if you interact with the department, they require to understand, okay, fine, as crossover foundation, what is good that you'll be doing to enhance the performance of the school? Hence then we have got this intervention. Now, second one is study skills. You'll be surprised that most of the kids, they don't know how to study.
Yeah.
And now,
but that is true. Even in
you can't tell me
other schools, yeah,
with the earphones, with the radio, with TV in front of you, with this and this, with the social media, with
So you teach study skills.
Yes, I also teach them.
Dear listeners, I'm sure you notice all the background noise. We are recording out in. Since we're talking to an educator, we are also in a place where there's a lot of information flowing left and right. So continue.
Yes, Mr. Learners, they need to be told how to study. How to do an individual study? How to do a group study? How to make a follow up of the work that we have done? Because you cannot just park the work and expect to see it towards the end of the year. That is also another cause of failure. Again, we are doing the extra lessons. That is an intervention that I want to bring the subject specialist. Because, Jim, you may be good in accounting, but it's something who's better than you.
Yeah.
I mean, educators, they need to understand and accept, okay, fine. How can we have this team teaching?
You know?
How do we encourage team teaching? How do I call a person from the other school? How do I ask people from other school? How did you do it?
Yeah.
How did you receive
so
100%?
You shouldn't just stay where you are.
Bring
help from the performing schools.
Yes, my take is that once we have funding, we will be able to have the tutors, say for example, finding students from UKZN, then you bring them to the schools and say, guys, because another thing, English is very, very important.
Yeah.
If you see most of our African schools, most of our learners, they cannot actually communicate. Even if you put them at an interview level, they are so underperforming. That is why then we are asking for this kind of intervention, okay? Another one, as I've mentioned before, is a career exhibition. But this one, I don't want to make it a concert, you see? I want to deal with the school per se, so that I bring the ex-students of the school and say, guys, let us talk to these learners and see how can we actually help them. Highlight to them the challenges. Highlight them the importance of scoring the good results. Highlight to them how do you enter to the university. What scores do you need to have? What marks do you need to have? You see? Because sometimes, you know, the learners, they just go on and on and on. As long as I receive bachelor pass.
Yeah, but they don't know where they're going
to. But that bachelor pass, is it worth it? Yeah. Can you take it somewhere? So those are the problems that you have. Another one is how to write the exam.
Yeah, you teach them how to write the
exam. How do you come early? What is 8:30? What is 9:00? What is 12:00? When do you pass the paper? The paper is 3 hours. You know, very surprising. If you read the Bible, it refers to 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 days, 3 hours, 3 days. How many hours was Jesus on the cross? How many days was he on the cross?
How many days was he buried?
How many days was he buried?
Yeah.
How many ladies who came there on the tomb? You know, how many boys were on the fire, Daniel? What is three? What is three in the Bible? That is my other motivation. Then I speak to them and say, guys, your paper is 3 hours. What does 3 hours mean? It means that you've got 6 30-minute minutes in a paper. But the first 3 30-minute minutes, you must have passed the paper. You know, that is an approach that our learners, they need to understand. When do I pass the paper? You can't just leave the exam room at 12 and you don't even understand, did I really pass the paper? So how to write the exam is very, very important. Targeting the questions and so forth. That is what I'm also dealing with. Another one is award performing for educators, you see? How do I intervene? How do we
encourage those who are doing well?
Teachers who are doing well.
So you give them some awards.
Yes, so that we motivate them. We bring the speaker, whoever, and say, guys, how do we do it? Then when you saw that, when you award them, then you know it's encouraging that somebody is there
noticing what we're doing.
Yes, that is exactly what I want to encourage. Another one is self-management. Self-management is very, very important. You know, these type of topics, they do have in NOs, life orientation. But is it applicable to them? Do they understand what is self-management? Because even if you're an educator, but if you cannot manage your finances, you cannot manage your...
So you do a lot of this to educators, not just to the learners.
Not to the learners.
So most of this is targeting both the learners and the educators.
Self-management.
So even the award performance is also for educators and learners.
Yes, exactly.
Same thing with self-management.
Yes.
So all of this is helping to shape their performance.
Exactly.
Okay, please go on.
Another one is teenage pregnancy.
Okay, so how do you deal with teenage pregnancy?
Talking to them.
Oh, by bringing it up.
Talk shows. Okay. Being a person... You know, bring people to talk to the kids. Mm. Mine is to organize, but
you want to bring the conversation.
I like to more especially, I want to relate it to the body. Mm. It's a God's body. It's a God's property.
It belongs to
How
God.
Do you take care of God's property? Don't repeat the mistakes that
of
you have committed.
Have made before.
Don't think, just don't take it for granted, you know. To have a child is a huge thing because you have brought the soul on this earth.
You know, you were talking to me about this challenge of teenage pregnancy just before we came on air.
Yes.
The fact that even now one of the challenges teachers face is the fact that the parents of the learners are also teenagers or too young. So you have a child that is 11 years and his father is 25 years.
It's not even there. It's not even there for a child.
Wow. It's not even there. It's not available because he himself is so young and trying to find
so young,
himself.
He doesn't understand the responsibility.
Yeah. So maybe imagine the 11-year-old you said gave birth. When you mentioned earlier there was an 11-year-old or 13-year-old that gave birth. By the time the child is 6 years old, ready to go to school, this parent is only 17. About 17. And then by the time the child is ready to go to high school, which is another 6 years from that, the person is just 23. Mm. So it's quite a challenge.
I'm visiting the orphanage homes. I'm trying to find the research. How did these kids come to this area? You know, I once spoke to the other foundation, which is known as Katsi Foundation.
Okay.
They said most of their mothers, they are on the street. They are taking the drugs.
So the orphans in those orphanages are actually, their parents are alive, they're on the streets.
Others were the failed abortions.
Yeah. And then
others are the AIDS victims, you know. Now, the question is, how to deal with this? So then, when we go to schools and motivate the learners, guys, let's look at this thing, you know. Let's check this thing. What is your vision? When you start a family, what is the family? What is God is saying about the family?
Does this work? Give us some feedback. What kind of results have you seen from this? I mean, somebody might be listening and thinking, oh, it's good, but would it make any difference? So what have you seen in your work?
You know, I always say this. You know, when Jesus' mother said, make sure that you put water in a jar. Do you remember the story?
Yeah, I know. The marriage at Cana.
Yes. But the wine, don't worry about the wine.
Yeah.
So that is also another take when I go to school. When I speak to learners, sometimes they just listen, you know. They understand exactly what we are saying. But the thing is, who makes the platform to conduct these talks? So immediately when I go, I know that God is always with me. God will make an impact. And I always receive some calls. You know what, sir? Thank you so much for what we have done.
Yeah, you get some feedback.
I never realized, because, you know, I usually say, in a relationship, there are two things. It's either you are in a contract or you are in a covenant. But now the problem is the contract will expire at any time. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend can leave you at any time.
Yeah.
So they start to understand exactly what is this teenage coming. Because every pregnancy has to be planned for. Now, as I'm saying, they don't need to repeat the mistakes that we have done before. Because through the experience, we have seen the hardships that we have had. But let us share those hardships with them. The moment when you speak to them, they start to realize, wow, everybody wants a better thing for his own child. But now again, father is not there, support system is not there, finances are not there. What is going to happen?
What is beautiful for me is that you're getting these feedbacks from the learners and also from the educators, I'm sure, saying this intervention is really helping us. The people are seeing the change through what you are doing. And that must be very encouraging, because somebody might be asking, how does this affect things? Because if this is being received in this way, then we need more and more of it. If somebody wants to get involved with what you are doing, maybe somebody's listening and is saying, look, I wish I can help in this. How can they get involved?
I will be inviting the specialists, the people for the keen interest, you know, because I'm going to leave my number here.
Yeah. Want to invite people who are specialists in different areas.
Who have heart to do this.
Yes, so anybody who has heart to do this is invited. People who have some skills or specialists in one area or the other that can come and talk to the children are invited to do this.
Yes.
Secondly, I'm sure people who have experience also or stories of their own life.
I also invite the principals.
Oh, principals from
other
schools.
Because that is where I have a little bit of a challenge. You know, you have observed what you are doing.
Yes.
You have witnessed the work that you are doing.
Yeah.
I'm pleading with the principal, if you give us an opportunity to contribute and intervene, to help the other way around, we will be so glad. Because, you know, in schools, there are quite some times that you can actually utilize.
Yes.
If you say, okay, Mr. Kuzwa, on this day I want you to see grade 11. You know, I was once at the other school that Dazinook and Donwood.
Yeah.
The principal said, no, today I want you to see the boys only.
Okay.
Because we sit down with the principals, we identify
the needs.
And say, you know, these boys here, there are about 50 of them. They just go out from the morning assembly. They started smoking, you know.
They disappear.
After break, they disappear. The code of conduct is not followed. But the thing is, one-on-one talk is so useful. You know, the moment you talk to boys, listen, boys, you are here in school. You are the fathers of tomorrow.
So you actually also are inviting principals who are listening to this that you can help them.
Yes.
So principals can be involved by opening up their schools for your Crossover Foundation to help them. Give us a number now, then I'll take the number again. Which number, website or email?
0061-910-3216.
So it is 0619103216 if somebody wants to get in touch with you, whether by WhatsApp or by a call. Now tell me, is there a word, as we round up, a word you want to say to people who are listening? Maybe a learner who is listening out there, I want you to say something to one learner who is listening. There's a motivation from God for him. Then after that, I want you to say something to a parent about their children. Please go ahead.
I've got two people just to send message to. One, the ex-students of the school.
Yes.
This is where God placed you to be where you are today.
Yes.
Let's go back and check these schools.
Okay.
Because they made you to what you are today. And again, I want to call upon all businessmen.
Okay.
People that can afford these days.
Okay.
Believe what I'm saying. But can you go back to our schools?
And invest in them.
Yes. And invest in them. And say, guys, for these foundations we are working, let's sit down and talk. What best can we do for these schools? I'm also pleading with the businessmen, guys, please help us, because you know what? These people who are now known as paras, basically they are produced from schools. You drive your own car, you sleep in your own house, you feel you are not safe. But again, the point is, what are you doing?
What are you doing to change things? So you are speaking to basically two groups of people, the ex-students, you're telling them, go back to the school and lend a hand. And the businessmen, lend a hand, invest. And I'm sure businessmen who are listening to this might want to call your number, 061-910-3216. You will notice there's a lot of background noise, listeners, as we continue this conversation, because we're in a place where there's a lot of going and coming. But I'm sure you're hearing us distinctly. I'm just going to land this conversation here with Mr. Armstrong Kuzwayo. He is the founder and leader of Crossover Foundation, an organization focused on equipping and lifting up underperforming schools in our province. Thank you so much, Mr. Kuzwayo, for coming.
Last one, parents.
And parents.
This
also
is your child.
Okay. A last word for the parents. This is your child.
This is your child. That's a full statement.
Yeah.
This is your child. Take care of it.
Take ownership of your child. Thank you so much for challenging us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening to this program today. Don't forget, you can get to Mr. Kuzwayo on 061-910-3216. Bye-bye now. I'll see you next week. Once again, apologies for all the noise. We're in a really supercharged place, and I'm sure you heard everything we said. God bless you. Bye-bye.